Over at Flowery Branch on Wednesday, I decided to talk with one of the veterans who has been, because there are not many guys who have been through the ups and downs. Matt Bryant has. He's been here a while now. And I wanted to get kind of his impression and his opinion of what this season is compared to some of the highs and lows that he's seen, kind of a unique perspective. So we spent a couple of minutes talking about that with Falcons veteran kicker Matt Bryant.
Well, you've been around the team for, is this your 10th year, isn't it?
10th year here, uh-huh.
Right, so you've seen the highs and the lows and the good and the bad, and you just kind of work through it. And when you have to go through these and kind of come out of them, you know what to do. They lean on you a little bit for that?
No, I wouldn't necessarily say so. I mean, the key for us, though, is to worry about today. And, you know, and Q tells everybody that, because that's the only thing you can control is what's going on today. I mean, it's are we 1-4? Yes. Does that stink? Yes. But there's nothing we can do about that. It's, can you get better, you know, at your job today?
Is it coming upon you, Matt Bryant, and all the other guys who have been around for a while? The team does get, because of the injuries, a little bit younger, a little bit newer. So the guys that come into the Brotherhood or the guys that are new to the Brotherhood, for you guys to kind of impart all that wisdom and that knowledge?
Yeah. I mean, I think the older guys at each position, you know, are helping guys through, and even the guys that are hurt are still in the building talking to these younger guys, you know, like Eurico and Debo. I've told some, and today I got a chance to speak to a group earlier, and, you know, just to remember that, you know, each chance, no matter if it's in practice or wherever it is an opportunity to be the very best you can at that moment. And so that's the main thing, in my opinion, is no matter what your record is to be the best at every rep that you have.
Matt Bryant with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When Coach was on with us, he used the phrase, frustration but determination. Does that work?
The only thing, I guess my approach and the only thing that I know and I kind of go by is that, like I said, every rep that I get, I'm going to try to be the very best at it that I can be, and so I guess that's my focus, and that would be my word to everybody else, is that, you know, each chance you get, be the very best you can be.
You're itching, I can tell, Matt Bryant, for that one shot. Let me win the game. Put me out there.
You know, if
that's what you live for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's sometimes your job is to go out there and kick. Hopefully, you know, kick 10 extra points in a game, and sometimes maybe it's to sit on the bench for the whole game and you go out there 3 seconds and make that one kick. So, I mean, I guess my job description changes from week to week, but every chance I get to go out there, I'm going to go out there and perform my job the best of my ability.
And Matt Bryant, of course, that's one of those guys that you'll miss when he ain't here no more. You're going to really, oh, man, Matt Bryant, you're going to miss Matt Bryant something fierce.
Man, Matt Bryant been doing a long time. Much respect to him and the fact that he's been in the NFL, damn, it seems like forever.
And he's been with the Falcons through the ups and downs. You know, that great run the team had, 2010, 11, 12, you know, in that era where you had, you know, 13-3, and then what, you won 10, then you won 13-3 again, and had the Matt Bryant moment against Seattle, and of course, then it fell into the tank to the eventual 4-win team. Hopefully, this team won't do that, and hopefully they'll be able to claw their way out of it and be back in the thick of things, but that'll require them to start winning games. Now, can they do that this Sunday against Tampa? That's a different story. Let's get the Tampa side of things. We are joined now live this morning on the waveford.com hotline by Rick Stroud, who is the beat writer for the Tampa Bay Times, covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and joins John and Hugh. Morning to you, Rick.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Rick, I'm just going to jump into it. What was going on with that Tampa Bay Buccaneers hype video with Jameis Winston?
Well, I don't know. You know, look, they made a decision when he was suspended not to have him included in any promotional materials. And, you know, he's not a face on the stadium for the first time in his career. And literally, you know, they do a lot of things for season ticket holders and whatnot. So now that Jameis is back in the fold, he's going to be the starter from here on out. You're starting to see them market him, you know, again. And it's promotional for the team. They still want him to be the face of this franchise. And this is sort of their welcoming him back into the fold, I suppose.
Talking with Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times as we get ready now. Is the team is saying everything that they're supposed to say here, Was this a tough decision for Dirk Koetter to make in regards to who was going to be the starting quarterback? We all know that Fitzmagic or Fitztragic or Fitzpatrick, whatever you want to call him, struggled against Chicago, and they made the change in the last game. But he had had such a great start to the season. How's this all kind of playing out?
Well, I mean, nobody saw, you know, Fitzpatrick, you know, having 300-400-yard games to come out of the chute. I mean, you know, that's never been done in the NFL before. So, you know, from that standpoint, he just, you know, he lit it up. And, you know, there was, he was kind of a cult favorite here in Tampa Bay. It was a breath of fresh air. He played it, you know, for all it was worth, you know, wearing Deshaun Jackson's jewelry and whatnot. So, you know, it was a lot of fun. And it's fun to win, right? They were 2-0. Nobody expected them to come out of the gate like that. I mean, when Jameis was suspended, most people said, you know, look, if they could win one of those three games, they could still be relevant. But what Dirk Koetter said is that when he found out Jameis was going to be suspended in July, he went and looked at a schedule and saw where, you know, the fourth game was off a short week in Chicago, and then there was a bye week. And he just felt it was a natural sort of break where Jameis would come back into the fold, you know, based on a lot of factors. Now, they didn't expect to be down 5 touchdowns at halftime in Chicago, so that sort of, you know, gave them the opportunity to give Jameis some game reps when that game was out of hand. But I think the plan was always to play Winston. It's tough on Fitzpatrick. It's killing him because he knows what he can do with this offense. But he's also willing to accept his role, and he knows the investment they have in Winston.
You know what, with that being said, I know Deshaun Jackson came out and said some things on the positive side for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Do you think that this team as a whole believes in Jameis Winston and that he could get them some wins?
I think they do. I mean, you know, with respect to Deshaun, I'm sure he's really sorry to see Fitz go because, as you know, Jameis has had a tough time throwing the ball down the field and over the top to Deshaun. And, you know, Deshaun and Mike Evans are up to maybe some of the best starts of their career. I think they were 4-5 in average yards per game. They both had around 106 yards per game. And, you know, Fitz throws a better deep ball. I mean, he gets rid of the ball early. He throws it into a space where you can track it before the defensive back has a chance to turn around. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the body language and just whether or not it's a big thing for Jameis to hook up with Deshaun and keep him involved and keep him interested. But I think we saw progress at the end of last year with Jameis, you know, throwing the ball down the field. And they think that, you know, he had a really good training camp, too. And they think he'll continue that with this group of receivers.
Rick Stroud, you can follow him on Twitter at NFL Stroud, STROUD. You can also go to TampaBay.com and check out his latest article. And the reason we're talking about Jameis Winston, he is such a compelling figure. Like him, love him, hate him, whatever. And Rick, your latest article talks about how Dirk Koetter has delayed naming captains for this team. I mean, we're going into week 6, and he's delayed naming captains for this team. I'm guessing because he doesn't want it to be a popularity contest. He didn't want Fitzpatrick to get that vote, and suddenly that creates a problem in the locker room, correct?
Well, I mean, look, I don't know if it was because of Fitzpatrick. I think it's definitely because of Jameis not being with the team. I mean, had they voted and Jameis not been a captain at the start of the year, which was probably likely since he wasn't going to be with them, that would have become a story, right? And at the time, negative stories about Jameis, you know, not being on the building and all this other stuff. So I think what he said was, let's get into the season, go through some ups and downs, and for the whole team, not just the quarterback position, but try to figure out, you know, who are the real leaders and who are just the perceived leaders. And I have to tell you, I mean, I don't know if that's, you know, definitely that was so that I think that Winston can still have an opportunity to be a captain, but I also think it's, you know, to see if maybe guys like Jason Pierre-Paul deserve it or, you know, some of the other players that have stepped up early this year. So there's a little bit of politicking to it. There's no doubt that's a sensitive issue with players. And I just think he wanted to make sure that Jameis was included in the balloting more or less and actually was with the team so that he could be included.
You know, Tucker, speaking of that defensive side of the ball, Noah Spence, he's been kind of like MIA this season. What's going on with Noah Spence?
Well, no one can really pinpoint it. You know, they have a new defensive line coach in Brenton Buckner, and Noah's coming off, you know, 2 surgeries with his shoulder. I just think that, you know, when you get a new defensive line coach, they have certain things that they want to see you do before they can trust you to play every down. And he just simply hasn't gotten there yet. They haven't given up on him. You know, I talked to Buckner the other day, and he says that, you know, the guy is working really hard. He's had some tough conversations with Dirk Cutter. He was inactive 1 week. He was in uniform and didn't play with a DNP 1 week. So it's been tough on Noah, but they feel like, you know, with this game, the injuries, eventually his number is going to be called, and they just want him to be able to play and be a complete player when he is.
Yeah, broaden that out. Rick Stroud talking from Tampa about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He covers the Bucs for the Tampa Bay Times. Broaden that out. You go out and get JPP, you got Vinnie Curry, you have all these guys on defense, and yet your defense with Mike Smith, dead last in the league in passing defense, dead last in scoring defense. Atlanta's got its own, obviously, defensive issues, but now you guys are coming in to face Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, with a defense that can't stop anybody throwing the ball.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, I don't think they're getting any sleep over here on the defensive side. Look, they're calling for Mike Smith's head and have been for a while, and Mike knows it. He said the other day, look, I got tracks on my back. I get it. But he also said the sky isn't falling. And I think, look, they've not been good, and that's an understatement. But when you get a bunch of new guys on the defensive line, it does take maybe a few weeks to gel. They've had injuries targeting their defensive tackle position. In particular, Bo Allen's been out. Vita Vea just came back after 7 weeks. He hasn't played any football. He played his first NFL game the other day. And, you know, the only consistent guy really has been Jason Pierre-Paul, has just been phenomenal. But on the back end, you know, it's not dissimilar to what Atlanta's going through. I mean, you know, while you've lost some really, really good players, you know, the Bucs lost two starters in Vernon Hargraves and Chris Conte. No matter what you think of those guys, they have experience, and they've been replaced by rookies. They're playing three rookies quite extensively now in Carlton Davis and MJ Stewart and Jordan Whitehead that don't know NFL football. And, you know, they're talented guys, but they're going to make mistakes. So, yeah, I mean, having seen, you know, Julio rip them for 250-something yards and knowing now they got Ridley, and I mean, these guys are, you know, they're bracing for a track meet for sure.
Talking with Rick Stroud about Tampa and Atlanta as we get ready for Sunday. Rick, final question from us here in regards to this game. We know how critical this game is for Atlanta. I mean, it is absolutely hypercritical that the Falcons win this game. Is there a sense, the same sense down in Tampa, or is there, you know, with a 2-2 start, not quite that sense yet?
Well, I mean, they got one more win, but, you know, they got to get going. And it would be different if they'd have won their last two games instead of lost their last two. But they've had to sit on this stench that they put up in Chicago for 2 weeks now. So they really want to get that out of their system and get back on the winning track. So I think it is critical for them. Maybe not as much just because of the record. They host Cleveland next week at home, and so I guess they could get back to .500. But in this division, you know, New Orleans and Carolina aren't going to slow down. So I think they both feel that there's a desperation here, and I think for that reason it's going to be just a hell of a game.
Thanks, Rick. Do appreciate it. Rick Stroud, Tampa
Take care,
Bay
guys.
Times. All right, Rick Stroud joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Your chance right now to have a really good Friday by winning $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Flower. No, Ackworth. Not like your bake with. Don't do that. All right. Flower like you grow in the spring. That ain't going to be growing unless you got mums in the fall. F-L-O-W-E-R. Flower. F-L-O-W-E-R to 72881. Flower to 72881. Flower to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive 92.com for rules. All right. Flower to 72881. The national signing bonus code word of the hour. So we want to keep it simple today at our Twitter at 929 The Game. We're asking you about the game on Sunday. Do the Falcons get a win over the Bucs or not? It's about as easy a question we ever ask. Yes, back on track, or no, season's over. Do they get this win? And we'll do that. I'll give you our picks in the Pick 6 segment coming up a little bit later in this hour. But right now, 56% of the voters are saying yes, back on track. 44% are saying no, the season is over.
And well, that's kind of close.
Yeah, I know it is close. And that's what Wendy said, it was going to be close all day. Tampa dead last in we talked, Rick Stroud's mentioned, no Chris Conley, no Vernon Hargraves. Dead last in passing yards allowed, dead last in scoring defense. The Falcons, this is kind of the good news, they're at home. You, the Falcons, and Matt Ryan, they ought to feast this week.
Yeah, that's what you would think. But the thing that has me concerned, John, is the defense. And how does this defense come out? Because we know that the Atlanta Falcons can move the ball down the field. But how is this defense going to help them, win the game? that's the bottom line. You look at the two games that come to mind, New Orleans and Cincinnati, and the defense has been in position at the end of the game to salt it away, and it hasn't happened. That's the problem. You know, it's not a problem whether or not, you know, you can score enough points to win. The problem is whether or not this defense can stop the other team from scoring if they so happen to have the ball last. That is the biggest issue. So, right. Yeah, that's what has me a little bit concerned in this game, man, because, you know, pulling for the Falcons, have them still alive. I mean, you know, there's no question about it. They're still alive. But this game is huge. And up until this point, John, haven't really shown me a lot in the way of can they stop somebody? And they because they haven't. Can't stop anybody. That has me concerned a lot.
Yeah, as everybody concerned. This is why we ask Rick Stroud if it's as critical in Tampa as it is in Atlanta, because they're not sugarcoating it. This game for the Falcons is critical. When we get back, Atlanta United off this week, but the end run is coming. Two games to go. The MLS Cup is looming. Carlos Bocanegra on the very latest of what the Five Stripes are looking at.
The game is just days away, and we're talking Falcons with a Falcons Friday.
What about Friday?
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Getting ready for a very busy weekend. A lot of college football around the corner, as you can imagine, with Georgia taking on LSU, and big game for Georgia Tech at home. Big game for Georgia Tech against the Duke Blue Devils, as they get ready to try to make a late-season run towards a bowl here. And the ACC has had, you know, a really tough time of it of late. Atlanta United, now we've been talking about Atlanta United off this week, and they face Chicago. Two games to go, 1 point ahead of New York Red Bulls, and what they face in terms of the run to the Supporter Shield and, you know, potentially the number one seed and hopefully the MLS Cup, because it'd be pretty cool to be able to hold it. But you know what, Hugh? The one thing about Atlanta United, I think we all know, is as they go through this break here for FIFA and they get ready for the playoffs, is that Red Bulls team is just kind of looming out there.
Yeah.
And that's the go-through. You know, I mean, and this is why it's so important to win the next two, because the last thing, I mean, they're already tough. The last thing you want to do is have to go to Red Bull Arena.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, John, that the New York Red Bulls have kind of owned you a little bit, and that's the tough part about it. And, you know, that's the reality of it right now.
Let's welcome into the program the technical director of Atlanta United, Carlos Bocanegra, joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Carlos.
Guys, how are you?
Pretty good. So is it okay for me to ask you how your fantasy team doing this week, man, or is it still like kind of like that?
You can ask me, but I haven't been paying attention. I honestly haven't. I haven't been paying attention to that at all.
You know, I can imagine, man, because this is almost the end of the season. This is getting a little tough, and don't you wish the end of the season would come a little bit closer? Because, I mean, man, you got a week off and two games left. Aren't you getting a little antsy?
Yeah, definitely getting a little bit antsy, but getting excited more than anything. It's crunch time, coming down to the final few games. You know, we control our own destiny with the chance to take the Supporter Shield this year and win the league. So it's a great time, and we couldn't ask to be in a better position.
Talking with Carlos Bocanegra as we get ready for the next game, which will be 9 days away against the Chicago Fire. This season has been, kind of an interesting one from the perspective of, you know, being out front all year long and having been a front-running team in only your second year. As you look back for a moment, since we have this off week here, as you look back to the beginning of the year and what you've seen all season long, did you expect to get to this point, you know, when you have the final couple of games, did you expect this team to achieve to what it's achieved so far this year?
Well, you never know. I mean, you have high expectations and you have goals, and, you know, everybody starts the season as, hey, we want to win the title, right? So, but no, it's been great. You know, we hoped that we could put the team together and gel quickly and put the performance on the field. You know, I think front office, the coaching staff, the players, the entire club, everybody who works for the club and involved, and then obviously the supporters in the city as well. It's just, you know, we talk about it so much, but the hard work of so many coming together, and it's been pretty special to be a part of. That's for sure. And it's energized the city, which is fantastic. It's just a good time to be in Atlanta.
Joined by Carlos Bocanegra, Technical Director, Vice President of Atlanta United. Carlos, let's get to a little bit of news update, if you can. Where do we stand with Miggy Almiron's health right now?
Yeah, he felt a little something in his hamstring in the game. So, you know, fortunately for us, there is the international break this weekend. And so there's no games. So it kind of gets a little bit of extra time. But, yeah, he's going to be week to week, and we'll evaluate him. Obviously, he's one of our you know, top players and a great guy, and we want to look after him. So, yeah, we'll see how he goes, but he's in good spirits.
You know, talking a little bit about George Bello being caught up to the men's team, what is that like? What is that feeling like? Because I know you've been caught up a few times. What is that feeling like for a young man to be caught up to the U.S. men's team?
Yeah, so he got a call up to the under-17 national team, and, you know, he's over in England, and they've got a little tournament over there. So it's great for him. I mean, it shows that he's been performing on the field and that, you know, the best of the best, so to speak, are looking at him. So he gets to go compete against other top 17-year-olds around the world and challenge himself and continue to get better and learn.
Talking with Carlos Bocanegra as we get ready for Atlanta United again. Final two games of the season coming up. Chicago Fire on the 21st is their next game. Carlos, you played a lot because since you mentioned George Bello going to the U-17s, you played a lot in your history, 110 games with the U.S. men's national team, 14 goals. That's an awful lot of caps, and you were one of the top 10 all time, if I'm not mistaken. This new version, I know that there's been a sea change now. We've had yet another coaching change. They went out and played Columbia last night and lost 4-2 in a friendly. Where do we stand kind of with the U.S. men's national team, in your opinion? I think a lot of us, I'll speak for myself, I fully expect that at some point, whether it was Jurgen, whether it was Bruce Arena 1-2, whether it was Ziggy, whoever it was, that we were going to kind of turn a corner a little bit and become much more relevant after, say, the collapse of last year. Where do we stand now?
Yeah, well, the first, you know, first order of business, so to speak, is hiring the coach and the men's national team. General manager Ernie Stewart is, you know, put kind of a November 1st target date as hiring of a new coach, and that will help give an identity. You know, unfortunately right now the guys are out there playing and they know this is probably not the coach going forward, so that's always a tough thing. You know, Dave's doing a great job. He's a great person as well. He's in a tough situation, but look, it's a little bit of a step up to the plate time. Once the new coach comes in, you know, we need to quickly get our identity. You know, he's going to choose his players that he believes are the best fit going forward for his style, for our country to win games. And, you know, then we get into the Gold Cup and qualifying, and we're right back in the thick of it, so to speak. But, you know, you watch a game, Mexico-Costa Rica last night, really competitive teams. You know, the region's getting stronger. So, you know, we've got to step up to the plate. You know, I think everybody's done talking about this last World Cup cycle. For me, it's all about this next generation, and, you know, can these guys step up to the field, step up to the plate, so to speak, and prove it? And I think we can, and we will be going in the right direction. You know, we took one, so to speak, in the face last night against Colombia, a very good Colombian team, and they showed we still have a way to go. You know, we're missing Pulisic, McKinney, Tyler Adams, a couple other guys last night, but no excuses. We've got to pull it together.
Carlos, been reading a couple of the little rumor blogs out there, and they're talking about a young man named Pitty Martinez. What can you tell me a little bit about Pitty Martinez?
From what I've seen, he's a good player, but you know, we don't talk about other players that are not contracted by us. So we've got a Martinez that is doing pretty darn good up front, 30-some goals for our team this year. And,
yes,
you know, happy to have him back from international duty, you know, wrapped in a care package, so to speak.
My bad, dog. I didn't know. I was just, you know, reading the rumor blogs.
Yeah,
I
know.
That's all right.
Yeah,
there's tons of rumors out there. We got him. We got this. We got that. There's Arsenal. There's this. You know, it's fun. It's silly season.
It is silly season with Carlos Bocanegra. Since we've been talking about George Bell and who brought up George, you know, it makes me think that Joseph Martinez, and you brought up Joseph, you know, it'll be kind of an odd feeling when now that we develop these international stars, if the U.S. men's national team, for example, has to go up against Venezuela and we're going, you know, I mean, that'll be a weird feeling to root against Joseph Martinez in a game. But to that point about George Bell or Andrew Carlton or what you're building with Atlanta United here, you and I had this conversation this week. the United States, and this, and Carlos, I think you understand, and I'm not trying to be, you know, point fingers at anybody. I mean, Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan were fine players, but the United States men's national team has really never developed that world-class striker. Is that something that's coming soon? I mean, is it something where we're going to finally get the Messi, the Ronaldo, the Beckham? We're going to get that guy?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a pretty fantastic player in Christian Pulisic that has come through, and he plays for Borussia Dortmund in Germany. And he's probably got a 40, 50 million euro price tag on his head. And I think he's 19, 20 years old. So, you know, we definitely have some quality here. You know, I would argue Landon was a pretty darn good player. Clint Dempsey, you know, scored a goal in the UEFA Cup final, you know, took his team to the UEFA Cup final. So we've definitely had some very good players. The Messis and Ronaldos of the world, those only come around once a generation, so to speak. So, but yeah, I think more and more people watch Pulisic, they'll see his ability, his drive, his mentality, and his, you know, he has a pretty amazing fitness capacity, which is one of his biggest strengths.
All right, we're certainly looking forward to the fire next week and getting back on track in this final push, and can't wait for this to happen. A little stop-start for us because of intermittent breaks for a number of reasons. So anxious to see the team get back in the field and really go. Here we go.
There we go. All right, guys.
Thanks much.
Have a good one.
Carlos Bocanegra joining us this morning on the WaveFord.com Highline. He's right about Pulisic, and it'll be really interesting if you're a fan of Atlanta United to watch, you know, 4 years from now, 8 years from now, how many of the players do start to come out of the Atlanta United Academy system, the Carltons,
yeah, John,
the Bellows.
Not only that, next year, how this team is going to change and evolve. Mm-hmm. Does it look like it's going to be some changes?
Oh, they're going to be massive changes. Yeah. I think they're going to go young.
Yeah.
Because the one thing is true, the U20, you know, our kids, you know, the teenagers, have performed very well on the world stage. They have performed better at their level. Watch what, you know, U17, U19, U20, mm-hmm. than the men's national team has in the big, you know. So as they grow older, I think you're going to see the class of soccer in the United States has gotten better. And I don't want to, and yes, he's right, Landon Donovan was good. But Landon Donovan was not a guy that was going to take you to a World Cup Final Four, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Dempsey was good, but he wasn't going to take you to a World Cup Final Four. You know, so I mean, you know, I'm talking about that special kind of guy.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting to see that the worm is starting to turn for the United States as far as young soccer players are concerned.
Yeah, I am, because some of our better athletes are going into it too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. They're moving away from the traditionals like baseball and football, and starting to play soccer.
They're starting to play soccer. A lot going on a very big Friday as we count down to college football Saturday, NFL Sunday again. Falcons Buccaneers coverage begins at 9 a.m. with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. 11 o'clock for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff, and 1 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. When we get back, we will pick the Falcons game. Among the pick six games, we'll also pick Georgia, Georgia Tech, and a couple of the other big games like Wisconsin, Michigan. Tell you who we think is going to win. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Friday! Talking all things Falcons with a Falcons Friday. Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, in today's Wendy Zone, we have to do our pick six because we cannot go into a weekend without being ultra competitive, especially since Hugh did the unthinkable by going 6-0 one week and then turning around and going 0-6 last week.
Hey, listen, it takes skills to do what I do.
All right, since you went 0-6 last week, do you want to go first or last?
I'll go first. I don't care.
All right, here we go.
He's not scared.
Our pick six games for this week. We begin, Hugh Douglas, with the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets hosting the Duke Blue Devils. Who do you like down in the flats?
Duke.
Whoa, Daryl being a Georgia Tech guy.
I'm going with Georgia Tech.
Yeah, well, that doesn't shock me. Arthur, 542 yards last week. Can they do it against the Dukies?
Nope. Duke.
All right, Wendy.
Wow. I'm going Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I think last week was not an anomaly. I think Georgia Tech are going to run it up. I think they're going to beat Duke, and so we'll go 3-2 on our picks to Georgia Tech. Very interesting game at the Big House in Ann Arbor. The Wisconsin Badgers, best team in the Big Ten West, against a resurgent Michigan team that suddenly is knocking on the door to, you know, possibly being in the conversation for the college football playoff. Wisconsin at Michigan. Hugh, who do you like?
Michigan. I like Michigan in this one.
Daryl?
Michigan.
You got a meat chicken too? All right. What do you got there?
Michigan.
AT. He's got Michigan. Is this going to be a Michigan sweep here at home against Wisconsin?
And it's at Wisconsin, by the way, John. Not
oh, I thought
Michigan.
It was at Michigan.
No, it's at Wisconsin.
Oh,
but I am
does that
going...
change? Wait a second. Does that change anybody's pick
nah,
here?
I was. Nah.
Nope. Yeah, that changes mine. Thanks, John. Wisconsin.
Changes yours? Okay. I'm with AT. I think it's kind of a 50-50 toss-up, but I'm going with Michigan.
Yeah, I did. That is. And I've got this. Hang on here. No, this is at Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor.
Are you sure?
I don't know what you're looking at, AT.
I didn't say that.
I said that. Oh, because they have it wrong. Because they have it listed wrong.
All right, hang on. The game is in Ann Arbor at the Big House.
Yes.
It is at Wisconsin.
Michigan.
It's at Michigan.
It's at Michigan, yes.
Okay. Michigan.
It's because they put it wrong. They put Wisconsin on the top and then Michigan on the bottom, which always means it's at
Man,
the
our show yeah, sheet is efficient.
Team. Michigan.
No, the team on the bottom is the home team.
Whatever John Freaky says in
okay.
this.
We
Not,
got it.
Yeah. All right, we're good. Just okay. pick. I messed everybody up.
All right, so I'm going Michigan, too. So is it a clean sweep? Did you change back, Arthur?
Michigan.
Okay. Yes, a clean sweep, Michigan, through. All right, that's done.
Georgia Bulldogs rolling a red stick.
And we know it's in Baton Rouge.
Yep. And so Georgia at LSU, 3:30 TV. We know where Arthur's going to go, but Georgia unbeaten number 2 against LSU, Hugh.
Ooh, this one's going to be a tough one, John, because LSU need this game, and they – I'm going to go Georgia. I'm going to go with the Dogs in this. I'm going with the Dogs.
Hey, he's taking Jake Fromm, Justin Fields, and the Dogs. Mr. Tech, you're taking who?
Georgia.
He's taking Georgia.
Reluctantly.
Do we dare ask Arthur Trish who he's going to take in this game, considering he's an LSU fan?
Given the fact that LSU has won 20 straight in the month of October, yeah, I'm going with LSU.
Wendy, Georgia rolls into LSU trying to hold on to that number 2 spot. In the polls.
I'm going with LSU. This is the first time Georgia's faced a ranked team, and LSU needs a win, but I'm not confident in my pick at all, Georgia fan.
Of course,
so now
Arthur is an LSU fan. Wendy's a Florida fan, so as she's picking against Georgia, you do that just to understand. What?
I just said I'm not confident in my pick, John.
Well, I don't care who you pick it.
I said LSU.
Okay, fine.
I mean,
John's a little snippy.
I know, but that's snippy. Wasn't that the first thing
right.
I said?
All right, so I'm also going to pick LSU.
Good time.
After all of that.
Yeah, I know.
Good times.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the NFL.
It'll be a better time in a few minutes.
Yeah. Panthers at Redskins, Hugh Douglas. Here goes Camther, and they're going into D.C. to face...
I'm going to say the Washington Redskins.
Alex Smith and the Redskins. You're going to go with the Redskins.
Yeah, because they dodged the bullet against the Giants. They really dodged the bullet against them.
All right, so we got one that's for the Redskins here. It's a 1 o'clock kick at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. Who do you like, Darrell Ashurst?
The Carolina Panthers.
Arthur Trish.
Panthers.
Cam Newton, 3-1. Alex Smith, 2-2. Who do you like?
Panthers.
That's another for the Panthers. Wendy?
Redskins.
I'm going to go with the Redskins and the home team on this, too. And this is not anti-Carolina, Karen.
It always is. Stop.
No, it's not. Maybe a little. The Chiefs are at the Patriots. And here you go. Mahomes is God against Brady is God. Really intriguing matchup, Hugh Douglas. Chiefs and Patriots.
Man, I tell you, this is a tough one, John.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, especially since Kansas City went in New England last year and beat them. They came from behind to beat them. I'm going to go with the Patriots in this one. I'm going to pick the Patriots. I think that Belichick tries to do something to confuse that young quarterback, which nobody has done yet this season. So I'm going to go with the Patriots on this one.
All right, the Chiefs have not lost this year. Will the Patriots be the first team, Darrell Ashurst, to beat them?
The Patriots sure will. I'm going with the Patriots.
Arthur, the Patriots at home are tough, but as Hugh mentioned, opening game last year, the Chiefs did us a solid with that win that they had. Who's going to win this one?
When have I started listening to Hugh? Chiefs.
got him.
I like Bill Belichick and his pressers per usual. I'm going with the GOAT in the NFL, and I'm picking the Pats.
And I'm going to go with Mahomes as God, and until he slows down, I'm going to pick him every single week. And I'll ride that out until it is done.
Keep riding that so I can catch you.
Yeah. The Bucs and Falcons. Here we go. Final pick now.
You don't pick. Just take the L.
Yeah, just
no.
Yeah.
I tell you what. Uh-huh. I mean, it hasn't worked out for me anyway, but it's with a heavy heart. But I picked the Bucs in this one. I picked the Bucs.
Taking the Bucs.
I picked the Bucs.
Daryl.
I'm picking the Falcons this week.
Taking the Falcons at home. AT, the Bucs come in with Jameis Winston at quarterback. You know, they're off their bye week against the Atlanta Falcons. Who's going to win this game? You're going to be on the field doing your thing. By the way, if you go to the game, I just want to make this point known. If you look down during the timeouts and there's a man standing on the field with a green hat.
A man.
A man. That is Arthur Trish.
Falcons.
All right, digging the Falcons. Wendy, who are you going with?
Oh, please, the Falcons. I'm going the Falcons.
I'm going to go with the Falcons. I think the Falcons win this by 20. I think the Falcons are going to work these guys.
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. But right now, the reason I'm not picking with my heart. I'm picking with my head. And right now, I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe that it's going to be any different. It's tough. I know. And I know what's going to happen Monday when we come to work. But I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be the Bucs. Hopefully I'm wrong, like I've always
been. I mean, if Mitch Trubisky can light you up for 6 touchdowns, Matt Ryan is going to have a field day. Julio's going to have a big day. Falcons are going to win by 20, and Julio's going to have at least 2 touchdowns in this game.
I hope I'm wrong.
John, you said the same thing about the game last week, though.
Yeah, you kind of say the same thing.
You did, John.
But it's cool. I understand.
So I was wrong last week. I'll be right this week. And then I'll be making
one. All right.
I just hope for this week just to get at least one win out of my picks, and I'll be okay with that. Just one.
Better not be the last one. I'm good with everything else.
Of course.
He ain't out there playing.
But you know what? Since you guys always pick the Falcons, we shouldn't even do the Falcons pick because we already
know
what y'all gonna pick. So y'all two shouldn't pick at all.
No, but I'm giving you my prediction on the game. Beyond that,
is that what it is?
20 point win. Julio's gonna feast 200 yards.
That's those next gen stats we getting.
I guess.
We can run this back on Monday.
John, yeah, it's going to be the same thing.
Can we run that back on Monday, John?
If you want, I don't care.
All right.
You got it. You record it.
I love it.
I'm not going to give you. You're getting no damn Sprite out of it, I'll tell you that, Brian. Rick and John next on a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.